local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Joined by the two hardest working men in the digital media space for the Sacramento Kings, Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes. Getting ready for just an exciting night, guys. Friday Night Lights. You know what I mean? Hopefully a Friday night beam. And you get to avenge the five losses that you've had to the same team. It's time. Frankie, I'm looking you in the eye right now.
I know, but I keep thinking about Friday Night Lights because that's a football reference.
Well, there's lights in an arena.
Did you like the show or the movie more?
Oh, whoa. Man, that's tough. You know Michael B. was in that.
Of course. He got a star in that show. Well, like, not a star. He was in The Wire as well.
Yes.
But his role in Friday Night Lights like propelled him into movie stardom.
I'm going to have to go with the movie, but okay, they're both outstanding.
I disagree.
Yeah, we're from a different
Clear time. Eyes, full hearts. Can't lose.
There you go. We actually have that.
We're a different generation.
Chris and I have that in the green room. We have our version of that.
Were you a senior in high school? A senior in high school when I was a freshman? We're not a different generation.
I don't know. There's no ageism here. As we get ready for the Kings and Pelicans, we've discussed the keys to the game, and now, guys, let's get into. Even though the Kings played really well against the Warriors, there were some things that could worry you a bit. No game is perfect. And one thing that I wanted to get your take on that I'm a bit worried about is obviously Keon had a great game. There's a lot of pressure on – there could be a lot of pressure on Keon to have another great game, and Keegan Murray had a really good game. All the starters played really well. I am worried a little bit about the bench for the Kings. Trey Lyles, a bit of a quiet game. And then you had Davion, who it seems like, guys, seems like that jump shot has cooled off a little bit. If Keon didn't shoot the way he shot, if Keegan – and look, that's what your starters are supposed to do, but I don't know that we can confirm that they're going to do that every single night. And I am a little bit worried about the production or lack thereof as far as what we've seen from specifically, because those are the two guys now in Trey Lyles and Davion Mitchell.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I mean, I think that also you could look at those and argue that you could see them having better nights. Mm-hmm. But there is a heavy reliance on the starters. And sure, Keegan had a good game. But I think you look at De'Aaron and Domas, and you can get more out of those guys.
Very true.
You know, I think that De'Aaron, 24, 6-4, like, that's fine. That's about his average. You know, that's not a big Fox game. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're subject to one of those potentially tonight, just like I thought we were in that Warriors game. And Domas falls into the same. So there's other production that you can get from other places. And I weirdly more look at, like, the Trey and Davion thing. And, yes, the Kings don't have a great bench. It's really seven. I'm curious if they go Alex tonight or Trey Lyles at that back of five. But I think I look at that as you could get better production mm-hmm. from those guys tonight.
Would that be, like, the worst thing in the world if they went defense, like, a priority of defense and put in Kessler to, like, go get CJ or Brandon Ingram in those minutes? Or do you think that Alex Len would still be the best move to bring off the bench?
I would probably go Trey Lyles back up five if it's Larry Nance Jr. on the floor. If it's still Valanciunas and that's how the rotation works, then you'd go Alex in my mind. But, like, I don't know. To me, Kessler or Chris Duarte, like, if you're going to that for defense, is if other guys aren't working, which probably is not a great sign in the first place.
Right. Yeah. No, I just think that's a great question because we don't really know. I mean, Mike's shortened the rotation incredibly small here recently. And I think, you know, Alex kind of got on the floor a little bit the other day, but for all intents and purposes, it was pretty much a seven man rotation. And, you know, I think some people were wondering, like, are we going to see Duarte in here? Are we going to see Kessler in here? Maybe Sasha gets some time. Who knows how the game script ends up going. I don't know. I mean, I think I tend to agree with Brendan. If they're going to go small, it allows you to go small. But at the same time, we've also seen Alex has really killed a lot of those lineups that have smaller guys. You know, he loves to tip the ball out. And, you know, Brendan talked earlier and a lot about how Mike Brown talks all the time about winning the possession battle and getting offensive rebounds is huge. The fact the Kings didn't get offensive rebounds or didn't get killed in the offensive rebound department against Golden State. We know how important that was in that series, so maybe you could think the same kind of logic today. But I think ultimately, we don't know what Mike Brown's going to do with these rotations right now.
it might all be a part of like the flow of the game too. Like they might go out there at that same eight, and Alexson has done a pretty good job of, you know, I feel like his defense has been pretty good. I think that that was a bad foul that he had in that flagrant. I mean, obviously it's just in the moment the game happened so quick, but I do think that if it is Larry Nance out there and you have Valanciunas and Nance, I would not be surprised to see Alexson go out there first, but I feel like it could be a matter of which Mike has done before. You see Alexson in the first half. If it doesn't work, Trey Lyles is your backup five for the second half, and Alex doesn't come back in. We've seen that happen a lot during Mike Brown's time here. But I also, just from a minute standpoint, I feel like this is the kind of night where we might see three guys play 40 minutes. We might see Fox, Sabonis, and Keegan Murray play 40 minutes. It's maybe even Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, it's money time. Speaking of, this is from the 916. 916, are you a double agent? Harrison Barnes is due for another disappearing act tonight. 916, are you a double agent? Come on, 916. We're not doing that today.
We're not doing that today.
We do need to see Harrison Barnes and some level of production, though. I mean, I guess it is unfair for me to say, guys, I'm sitting here and I'm worried about Davion and Trey Lyles, who come off the bench, and I haven't even addressed Harrison Barnes yet, who, the reason 916 is saying this is because Harrison did play well, 17 points against the Warriors. He put together that stretch during the revenge tour when it was the Warriors, the Mavs, and one other team that he balled out against. But how much should we expect out of Harrison, and how much should we expect out of Harrison Barnes? I mean, when he plays well and plays at a high level, which he did play well against the Pelicans the last time, it just wasn't enough because he was guarding Zion for some of it, and we know that's not going to be a winning recipe.
If we're going off track record, I have good news.
He'll eat the table.
Not that, but I have good news. Harrison Barnes against the Pelicans this year. Mm-hmm. Five games, 14.8 points per game.
Talk to me.
3.5 boards, 49% from the field. And here's the good one. 42% from three.
We got a guy too.
This might be his best opponent. This might be the best he's played against an opponent he's played three or four times this year. Like, I'm seeing a lot of, yeah. And this is a guy that's averaging, what, 12? He's outperforming his season averages against the Pelicans this year. So that, if you had to chalk it up to feeling good about an HB game, who knows what'll happen, but the numbers reflect that he has played well against the Pelicans this year, for whatever reason that may be.
This is why Frank Facts. This is why we do Frank Facts. This is live. You're getting live Frank Facts in the flesh right now.
He's got five straight games of over 10 points in those five games. Second longest streak of the season so far. And, yeah, looking at his games against the Pelicans, 16-22. Did have a four-point outing, 10-22. Those are good Harrison Barnes numbers.
I feel like we talk about, again, all the time how HB, what is he, 6'8", 225. He brings that physicality. It's a player that, for a team that is the whole starting five is 6'7", or taller outside of McCollum, I think that he kind of is the Kings, like, equalizer. Like, he's a guy that they kind of maybe have a tougher time to slow down versus guys like Kevin Herter when he was healthy, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk. HB's a guy that probably gets in the paint and can kind of go up against those stronger players, the stronger defenders, and make them work a little harder. So I think that maybe that's why. But this is a team that we've seen get very physical with the Kings, and they have length. They make the Kings uncomfortable. So, HB, good numbers against the Pelicans. I did not expect it either.
I think I had it backwards earlier. I think I said that Keegan is who I'd expect on Trey, but I was watching back the non-Zion game, and I think I had that wrong. It's HB, at least in that game, that was on Trey Murphy.
Okay.
And then Keegan on Brandon Ingram. And that HB-Trey Murphy one, we talked about how Trey Murphy can be an X factor. Harrison Barnes is kind of the definition of an X factor, just from the aspect of you don't know what you're getting any given night. So definitely a matchup to watch there. And sure, he's played better, but I don't love relying on HB. He's so hard to predict what's going to happen here. Like, I feel, especially after that last Keegan game, like, I feel like you know that Keegan's going to get shots up, and same with De'Aaron and Domas after that. Who else is going to show up?
Well, let's say Keegan starts off the game 1 of 7.
Yeah.
Oof, that's not.
Why would you? That's
not. I'm going to say it. Yeah. HB's got to be that next guy up in line. I mean, you know that Fox and Sabonis are going to have to be, they're going to be doing what they're doing. I mean, that they're not, obviously they have to step up more, but the next guy in line is HB. Mm-hmm. So, like, if Keegan struggles early, they might look to HB a little more, like they did during that 4 or 5 game stretch where he had crazy high volume and was scoring 20 plus points per game, the 39 point game in Golden State. We could see a similar workload if Keegan's struggling early, because there is no Malik Monk to come in and bail out a tough start from the starting five. Like, they need to find someone, like we saw against Golden State. That was all starting five. Mm-hmm. And Davion Mitchell has been chipping in. He knocks down some threes. He's been shooting great from three. Trey Lyles has been a guy that's usually getting 7, 8, 9 points per game. Expecting much more is I would say, I didn't say realistic, but he's had big games before. But
yeah, that's true.
That's HB, though. HB's next on that list, where if you have Fox and Sabonis doing what they're doing, Sabonis has not been great against Valanciunas in the paint. Keegan's been someone who's been streaky at times. You got to look for Harrison Barnes to get in the paint or knock down open shots.
I do think that, like, what I feel comfortable asking Harrison to do is take open threes, like you're saying. Do not pass up looks. He's been guilty of that before, to the point where they shoot 53s, and Mike Brown's really hung up about the one that he passed up.
Right.
But that, and HB's really good for scoring 8 points in 5 minutes. Right. You know, hitting 2 threes, getting to the line once or twice, and helping slow down New Orleans' momentum. Give me one quarter, half quarter of, like, that was really good from HB.
Stabilizer, a right. Band-Aid, anything you want to call sure. him, that could be something that, hey, with it, still a young team, and even though they have experience from last season, still a young team, and HB, this is why they brought you in here. This is why they pay you for what you do on the court, what you do off the court, but how you produce and how you keep everybody in the right headspace, because you are that vet on the team that plays legitimate minutes. So I think it's a big night for HB. It's got to be a big night for him, the starters, and if any of the starters are cold, yeah, hopefully Trey is in that mode, or hopefully Davion is in that mode, because that was the part of the stretch that I don't think we found as realistic when they were blowing those leads to the Knicks and to the Thunder, because, all right, Davion is shooting the lights out here. What we saw against the Warriors was more realistic. But if you don't have 32 from Keegan and you don't have 15 from Keon, you have to get that production somewhere else. All right, one more segment with our guys, the Sactown Sports Kings insiders. We get their predictions. Also, Kings win if... ... Hop in, text line, call line, 916-339-1140 with your Kings win if as well. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
He'll eat the table.
One more segment with our guys who will be watching the game in darkness at their spots.
Can't
just
confirm.
Just grind and film, and hopefully it's a W and a Friday night beam. All right. Kings win if... ... Let's start with Brendan.
Yeah, this one's a tough one. I definitely want to look at the threes, but I think I'm going to go with if they score more points in the paint than the Pelicans.
Okay.
And keeping it fairly simple in this one, but you look at their first three matchups, and the Pelicans destroyed them in the paint. 64 points in the paint, New Orleans, 40 for the Kings. 62 points in the paint, New Orleans, 28 for the Kings. 52 for New Orleans, 38 for the Kings. And the two most recent matchups were closer. Only one of them did favor the Kings, though. New Orleans scores really well from inside the paint, and I think that limiting those guys will be pretty important.
Which one, what was the breakdown of the other game without Zion? I mean, they lost by 30 points.
So. Yeah, I believe that was the December game. Do you know if that's right, Frank? It is, right? I'm pretty sure.
I think so, yeah.
It was 133 to 100.
Yeah.
Oh, that's January. Oh, the one with Zion did not play? January yes. 7th.
Okay. That was 48 points in the paint for New Orleans, 44 for the Kings. So
see?
Closer there.
Yeah.
Closer there.
There you go. All right. Frankie?
I'm looking at three-point shooting. I feel like that's going to be the key tonight. Both these teams have loved to let the three fly this year. I mentioned the Pelicans, when they shoot 40%, they win nearly 80% of those games. The Kings... close to that. When the Kings shoot over 35%, this whole year it's been 35. I'm looking at the rule of 35. If the Kings shoot over 35% this year, over 47 games, they have a 33-14 record. That is a 70% winning percentage. So very good things happen when they knock down 35% or more. So I'm looking there. If the Kings can again take out one of CJ or Ingram, I do feel like it's going to be very hard for the Pelicans to win without having that safety net of Zion, who they could kind of just dump it into if they need to go on a run, mm-hmm. which he did time and time again. When the Pelicans and Kings were in a close game, Zion would just take over and go beast mode like he did at Golden One Center a week ago. So I'm looking at the three-point shot tonight. But again, like Brendan pointed out, there's a lot of areas that the Kings need to improve on, because they've been getting beat in every category by the Pelicans. So they'd have to change a lot of things. But three is top of my list.
Is it my turn?
It's
I'm
your
going
turn.
As well. I'm going to go hit your open shots for the Kings. Looking at the numbers that they had against the Warriors on just open looks, which is 4 to 6 feet from the next defender, 4 of 11, 36%, which is pretty decent. But on the wide open, closest defender is 6 feet or more away. Kings were 13 of 27 against Golden State, hit 48% of those shots. And I'm looking at the only team that shot better than the Kings did in the play-in tournament was the Lakers, 11 of 20 on wide open opportunities. Kings have to capitalize on those. We've seen so many times, especially in that second half, that third quarter, Kings come out incredibly flat, just miss wide open opportunities, and we know how much different of a team these guys are if they don't make shots. If they don't make shots, everything else starts to leak, and you just can't have that when your season is on the line.
Yeah, and
spray
threes. This is it, right? This is it. You know what this team is going to try to do to get you off your game. Can you overcome? From Muhammad Kampara on the Sack Chat, Kings win if they out-rebound the Pelicans.
Also agree with that.
I like that.
I agree with that, too. I mean, the rebound discrepancy was, to me, like, three-point shooting is one thing. Like, letting them shoot 45% from three or 50% in two of those games is one thing, but allowing them to out-rebound you 47-33 on a team that has Domantas Sabonis is insane. But I feel like that happens a lot in those games where it's Sabonis getting 15, 16, 17 rebounds, right, and other guys aren't crashing. Like Keegan Murray, if Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes combine for 6 rebounds, that's not a formula for success, in my opinion. They need to be crashing in every possession because Keegan Murray has shown he can be a very good rebounder. He was a double-double guy in college. This is not NCAA, obviously, but we saw this last game, 9 rebounds. He was crashing. Harrison Barnes was a good rebounder the first 4 or 5 years he's been in Sacramento. This year, he's taken a step back, I think, because he's been more of a perimeter threat than a guy that's crashing the boards. But everyone needs to be active crashing the glass tonight because the Pelicans, Valanciunas poses a problem, and obviously you have other guys that can get in there as well. But that is an area that for sure needs to be improved. And also, I'd say, getting the line. Like, attack the paint. I know that the paint points or the paint defense doesn't bode well for the Kings, but put pressure on them. Like, try to get Valanciunas into foul trouble. Get Herb Jones into foul trouble if he's on De'Aaron Fox tonight. See De'Aaron Fox be...
That's a Harrison Barnes thing.
That too, but even what De'Aaron Fox was doing, and I think Brendan and I talked about it, like that's where Fox lives. When he gets in the paint and he's knocking down that 10-12 footer near the top of the... or 15 footer at the top of the free throw line, that's where he's made his living for the past couple of years. So if he can do that and get that going early, not rely on the three ball as much, that could be huge for the Kings offense as well.
I'm curious, do you guys think, so Sabonis last game, what, had 16, 12, and 7 or something like that?
I got you right here. Yeah, he had 18 points, he had 10 rebounds, and he only had 4 assists.
So I'm saying last game against
the Warriors.
Against the Warriors?
Oh, I thought you meant
Chris's
the Pelicans.
Line,
gotcha.
Chris's line is right, 16, okay, 12, and 7.
That's right.
I'm wondering, do you think Sabonis can be worse than that in the Kings win? Does Sabonis need to reach those numbers and win, or does he need to be better than those numbers and win?
I mean, I think that the one turnover is a really big part of that night as well, to get 7 assists and only one turnover in there. Like, that's pretty valuable. New Orleans turns other teams over just as well as about anybody in the league.
I would want more.
Yeah. I would want more, but I think they could survive without him being better.
If you're shooting from three like you did against Golden State, right, I think you're going to win regardless. If you're shooting 45% from three, as we've seen on the other side, the Pelicans, if the Kings do that, they're going to be in a very good spot. But I feel like it's got to be one of those nights where just your stars kind of carry you. Like, to me personally, like, if my key of the game, like, who I'm looking at the most, it's De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis tonight. Yeah. I'm just looking at those guys. I think we can hope for Harrison Barnes to have a big night. We can hope for the bench to have a good night. But those two guys, like, this is their time. This is why they're the franchise corner pieces. This is why they're under contract for what they have. This is their moment to prove that they belong in that category of all-stars, all-NBA, what have you. Put the Kings in the playoffs. This is that time right now. You need more out of both those guys.
Right, yeah, because, I mean, 16, 12, and 7 for Jonas Valanciunas is incredible. They're probably going to do a whole segment tomorrow on New Orleans radio if he goes 16, 12, and 7. That's an average Domas night. You need more than that.
We can't have that be the narrative. Like, last year it was Looney and Sabonis. We can't have Valanciunas. They're going to be in the Olympics, I think, this summer. I don't think Sabonis wants to hear about that all summer. the ESPN, did we talk about the ESPN predictions came out?
Oh, okay. Man.
ESPN published their predictions. I don't know if anyone out there saw for Kings Warriors. I think it was 11-1, the Warriors, and writers for the website, they predicted that the
Take
Warriors
that
would win. Today, I'll just go ahead and just, I don't think I should list them all out. I'll just go ahead and say what it is. ESPN writers, there's 12 of them. 10 of those 12 writers have said that the Sacramento Kings will win tonight's play-in,
which I'm reacting the same way. 10 out of how many?
12.
No.
Is there a blurb after? No, it's just straight picks?
No blurb. Okay. No blurb. It's just play-in tournament. There's a lot of Kendra Andrews, Tim Legler, Tim McMahon, Bobby Marks.
Who didn't Mark pick Spears, the Kings?
Who did not pick the Spears? Kendra Andrews.
Really?
Yes.
ESPN.
Jorge Sedano. I think he covers the Pelicans, though, doesn't he, for ESPN?
I think Miami. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's it.
He's down there.
Mark Spears. love Sacramento Kings. Course. Mark Spears of gave course. Him a vote.
Yeah, he picked the Warriors last time. Yep, we don't forget.
Ramona Shelburne picked the Kings. Tim Legler, who I feel like has been pretty down on the Kings, picked Sacramento. So,
well, they beat the Warriors, so now they're the hot
right.
team.
That's right.
That's
Go ahead. Yeah, how much do we take from these one games? This is one game we're talking about, you know, and I feel like the whole tune has changed for both of these teams. I know New Orleans kind of limped into their play-in, but the Kings were not playing very great. I think it was 2-5 in their last seven, and then they win this game, and it's like, oh, everybody feels great. And I kind of am with that, but I can't help but notice that it's weird, you know, and
I
feel
agree.
Like, are we overreacting?
We're not, because we watch the Kings every day. National media doesn't watch the Kings every day.
They
just saw that Warriors game.
Right.
I think we'll know very early. I think
I agree with that.
But the thing, and on the other side of that, as that left my mouth, I was like, well, the Kings took a 20-point lead on the Knicks and the Thunder, but I don't know. I just feel like on a road game in a game like this, I think we'll be able to tell pretty early, because you could feel it against Golden State and with the pressure on that
physicality.
It was going to be a special night.
And that's what I asked. I asked Whitey, you know, how Coach Mike Brown at the time had said, hey, this is good for us. And a lot of Kings fans didn't love that he said that, but if you're going to blow leads, and obviously it's kind of weird because if you didn't blow those leads, maybe you're not in the play-in, but they blew those leads, and maybe now
even
it's...
Even one of them, you're maybe not
okay,
in the play-in.
Yes, I know. But now you can say, hey, we've been there. We got through Warriors. We didn't blow the lead against that team. If we do get up, we have a better understanding of how to get this done against a Pelicans team who doesn't... They shoot a high percentage, but they don't shoot that many threes, especially if you can run them off the line. All right, Frankie Carticelli, Brendan Nunes, thank you so much. Roundtable will return regardless.
Yes, offseason or for Kings Thunder.
Yes, but we will
for Kings Thunder.
It'll be Kings Thunder. Final predictions?
Let's go to OKC, man.
There you go.
118-112, Kings.
OKC is beautiful this time of year. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Thank you to Frankie Carticelli and Brendan Nunes. You know, Chris, I didn't get to give my Kings win if.
Yeah, no, that's why I was waiting for it.
You know, we had to do the predictions. Yeah. I really did want to do the predictions. All right, I was kind of torn because...
Okay. This is your Kings win if.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn because there could be other reasons, right? And they could still lose if something happens. But right. I do feel, and I was struggling with the number here, but I do feel like the Kings win if Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum combine for less than 45.
That seems like a good number.
You know, 50 seemed like too much. 20 seemed like too little or not realistic. But if you can keep them under 45, I think the Kings win.
You definitely have a lot better of a chance. Like, because that requires 20, somebody else having a career night, right?
Yes. That's a good night for Brandon Ingram, 25, and it's a human night for CJ McCollum, 20 points.
Right. Yeah. Human against the Kings, at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
Human against the Kings.
I mean, and that's really, like, just hold them to their averages, right? Like, CJ's a 20 point per game score.
Right.
Brandon Ingram is a 20 point per game score.
That's it.
They can float around those numbers, but, like, you can't let them do something out of the ordinary. And you're not going to be able to hold everybody to their averages. But, you know, yeah, make life tough on those two and see how the rest kind of trickles out. Like, does it affect You know, Jonas Valanciunas. Does it affect Trey Murphy? Does it affect Herb Jones's name? Hasn't even been brought up, and I know he's not really much of a scorer. Like yeah, he that kind of was three trending type towards.
Guy.
That's exactly what he's lining up for. So, you know, there's going to be something that the Kings sacrifice in this game. They're not going to be able to close all the holes and you know allow under 100. It'd be great. I'm not saying it's not possible, but that's not really something you can bank on. Who are you going to allow to beat you, I think, is going to be the interesting thing, because Herb's a great shooter. Trey Murphy's a great shooter. Maybe you let Brandon Ingram be a spot-up shooter. I don't know, you know, his difference of numbers in terms of spotting up versus off the dribble, but B.I. feels a little bit more like a dribble-in, off-the-dribble shooter, not really in the complete flow of offense. Just make it tough on him, really, is you know, easier said than done. But to me, the physicality is the key. You just can't let these guys have any amount of space. And I mention it all the time, but Doug Christie used to talk about all the time on these airwaves, Make them feel you, man. There should not be a possession where they drive and you don't at the very least have a hand on them, you know, bumping them with your chest, with your hips. You just got to make sure they feel you defensively.
Who was it, Chris? I'm going through the stretch of games with Keon starting. And there was somebody specifically, and I don't, was it Luka? Maybe it was Luka, but I don't think it was Luka because Malik, I think it was Luka because Herter had already been out. I'm trying to remember, we were having a conversation and it was, oh, we're going to see tonight if Keon can also guard a bigger guy. Mm-hmm. Was that guy Luka?
Don't think so. I do remember having that conversation. I can't remember who it was.
I don't think it was the Thunder.
No, I don't think it was the Thunder either. I can look at the schedule real quick.
It wasn't the Celtics.
It
wasn't the Clippers. It wasn't the Knicks.
It might have been the Clippers. It might have been us talking about Paul George.
But he got cooked, though. But he got cooked. They lost that game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember ever feeling like we had gotten a, oh, okay, yes, Keon can guard those guys. If anything, I definitely remember not, you know, I remember talking about this will be a good opportunity to see if Keon could do it. I don't remember exactly which game it ended up being on and which opponent it was, but I do feel like the fact that we haven't really seen it since, we haven't seen him guard a lot of bigger guys here. Like they didn't throw him on Kuminga or anything like that. We just haven't seen it. I would think that Mike just likes Keon to get the guards, and then maybe Keegan gets the forwards. It's going to be interesting to see. Yeah, do they single cover CJ with Keon today? Do they do what they did with Steph and put Keegan on CJ at first and kind of move things around, or do they feel like because Brandon Ingram is such a good scorer, maybe we can't afford to take Keegan off of there? I would imagine Keon's probably going to get a lot of CJ McCollum. It feels like a bit of a waste to have him sit on the corner and guard a guy like Herb Jones. Trey Murphy, I think, is a little bit too big for him.
I was thinking about Brandon Ingram Ingram.
It definitely could. It wouldn't surprise me. You know, it's not like Brandon Ingram's super physical or strong or anything like that. Like right. He's a pretty skinny guy. I wouldn't worry too much about Keon like getting blown by or getting out-muscled in that matchup.
Yeah, it's more about the wingspan and Brandon Ingram being a mini Kevin Durant once he gets into the air up there and nobody can really defend that shot, and it's really a matter of whether he's going to go in or not. But it's a lesser version of that. Yeah, I'm just curious how many different looks they'll give Brandon Ingram. But again, I know he can, and I know Brandon Ingram can shoot threes. He just doesn't. Yeah. That's not his go-to.
Really. Yeah, he's a mid-range shooter. He's, you know, he's built like Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. He's just looking to get to his spots and pull up and rise above people, and he's tall enough and got a long enough wingspan to where he can pretty much get to that shot whenever he wants. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so tough.
Right now, Brandon Ingram, and he has had some injuries, he's averaging 20.8 points a game, and he's shooting 35.5% from three.
That's not that great. You know, that's definitely like the bottom end of high volume 3-point shooters. I don't know how many attempts is it per game. Definitely matters for him as well. And also, I mean, we're at the point too where we might need to look at individuals' numbers when Zion isn't out there, which I know has been less this season than in past seasons. But How do they usually pick up the slack? I know in years previous, Brandon Ingram has definitely been the guy that they turn to, but, you know, we also haven't seen with his injury, like, how much do they really trust him? I mean, they pulled him in that Laker game. He didn't play the last 7 minutes of that Laker game the other day. I know yesterday's practice seemed to have gone well. Everyone said Brandon Ingram has looked as sharp as he has since returning from the injury, but does that mean that they're willing to play him, go from 25 to 40 minutes, and not only 40 minutes, but like having the ball in his hands a lot? I don't know. Maybe we are thinking too much about Brandon Ingram's impact when in reality he's pretty banged up and, you know, probably wouldn't have played in last game if it wasn't a do-or-die situation. And even then, they really didn't trust him down the stretch. So maybe we're giving too much credit to Brandon Ingram. Maybe tonight will be more of a C.J. McCollum game. Who knows? Maybe, you know, Valanciunas has had some pretty good games against Sabonis here. Even though Sabonis himself has had some good numbers, maybe they lean more into Valanciunas, who is a really good post player. Trey Murphy, we've talked about him.
We didn't see Larry Nance last game.
That's true. Yeah, Larry Nance we didn't see last game. How does he impact things? He's like their Trey Lyles without shooting. He does all the big man stuff and allows you to play a little bit faster. So it's definitely going to be a different game, I think, in a lot of different aspects for this one. And, you know, really, I don't know how much we can take, if at all, any of the previous matchups going into this one, just because this is such a particular case for these two teams. Like, the Kings haven't had, even though they've played the Pelicans without Malik and Kevin, they haven't had to be in this kind of situation without those guys. The only other time we saw them was last game, and they played great. So it's kind of tough to try and figure out where my feelings lie. Mm-hmm. I feel like I go back and forth, and I feel like that's kind of how everybody's been this week.
When we return, we will hear from Pelicans head coach Willie Green on Brandon Ingram and what we can expect. Also breaking down some stats and notes on the Pelicans. And we will break down at 1 o'clock the Western Conference playoffs. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
You got chefs in New Orleans who love them. They're looking for them.
Live and local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Time to open up the phone lines. 916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. How are you feeling about tonight? That tingling that you got? Haven't had it since last season, before game one, actually all throughout that playoff series, the emotions that you felt on Tuesday. It's been a while since you had those feelings, but they don't always end in good feelings, as you learned last season. But this is a new year. Got to win tonight to get into the playoffs. How confident are you in your Sacramento Kings to get it done? What do they have to do to get it done?
I got one. What do they got to do?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, keep, Kings win if.
Yeah. Alvarado in single digits points.
Oh, man.
You know,
given, though.
Hey, bro. The game should be a given, as everyone's saying. The word is out. The game should be a given. The word is out.
There are two things that I don't want. I can't have a Grand Theft Alvarado, a little steal, okay, in the corner.
Yeah, my mind.
And I cannot have C.J. McCollum telling everyone that the Kings passed on him. Those two things will ruin my weekend.
It's going to happen, the McCollum thing. He's going to say it pregame.
Not if they win.
I don't know.
No, he's not going to say it in pregame.
I can't have my table get eaten.
Well, that's not going to happen.
He'll
eat
the table.
He won't be at the game, so I guess you never know.
He won't be there at all?
Maybe.
No, he'll definitely be there.
Oh, okay.
He'll definitely be there. Like, he won't be in. He won't be.
I can't stand in Jose Alvarado. I can't. If that happens,
is he the most annoying player?
He's on the list for sure.
It's Pat Bev.
Oh, Pat. Yeah, Pat
Bev. Russ. Draymond.
Pat.
Jimmy on that list or no?
Not for me personally.
Yeah.
Patrick Beverley, Draymond Green, Jose Alvarado. You said Westbrook?
Westbrook.
Oh, Brooks, Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks. Personally, Wardell's up there.
Okay.
Personally, he is.
We said someone the first
annoying.
Time.
Grayson Allen.
He doesn't do player. It. After he took off the Duke jersey, it was less
didn't
annoying.
Quite hit the
it
same.
Doesn't hit the same.
Let's see here. D'Lo really upsets me when he goes off. When yeah, D'Angelo but Russell
the whole
has a
Lakers
game,
team gets yeah. me.
Yeah. Those are probably like my big, I don't know what that is. That's probably like a list of seven where I just can't have. But Jose's up
first
there.
Team.
Jose's first team for sure.
First team
for sure. The fact that he's so annoying, he's got his own signature annoyance. Like yeah. the Grand Theft Alvarado, yeah. to have something coined that is just in nature incredibly annoying, like that's how you know you've done it. You've made it.
Keegan almost pulled off a Grand Theft Keegan Murray on
that's
Steph,
right.
and he wasn't and even he, meaning to. Yeah, Steph just wasn't paying attention, didn't end up scoring on that. So before the break, we were trying to figure out there was a bigger player, a larger player that we were trying to figure yes. out who we were talking about as far as Keon guarding him, and we were likening it to tonight if Keon were to get any time against Brandon Ingram. On the text line, 530 is saying, was it the Suns with KD? I feel like whoever it was, he didn't do well, and we used Kessler and swapped Keon off. So it wasn't KD. I remembered as soon as we went to break, yeah. and I think somebody else said something in the Sack Chat. It was, oddly enough, or randomly enough, because they should have won that game, it was the Wizards. It was Kyle Kuzma.
Right.
We wanted to see what Keon Nellis would do against Kyle Kuzma, bigger guy, and Kyle Kuzma cooked that whole game, one of their worst losses of the season. So that was the last one. But Kyle Kuzma is bigger than Keon, and he's also more physical than Brandon Ingram, I'd say.
Yeah, I would think so. He's a little bit better built, and you know, I actually think Kuzma might, crazy enough, be taller than Brandon Ingram, and you know, but for the most part, I'm trying to pull up the numbers here. On Kyle Kuzma, they had Keon Ellis guard him on two possessions. He was one of two, so they really just didn't utilize it too much. He only guarded Kuzma for about a minute. Used a lot of Harrison Barnes, actually a lot of Chris Duarte and Kessler Edwards in that matchup. I don't think, and I know Frankie brought it up, and I do think it's fascinating, like, because these are one game playoffs or whatever. It's a play in, I know, but Brandon actually asked Coach Brown this yesterday in terms of how do you balance essentially being aggressive with your rotations versus, all right, like we spent days game planning for this. Maybe don't just throw it out the window immediately. You clearly right. saw something initially that made you think this was a good idea. Don't abandon it. It's going to be fascinating how Mike Brown kind of presses those buttons. Is he going to say, I really don't think that whatever plan we have on CJ's working right now, abort, abort, abort. We weren't planning to throw Chris Duarte out there, but eye test wise, it feels like we need physicality on the ball. Like, how quick is he to pull those triggers, to push those buttons? You could argue this is what, you know, really good coaches. You'll notice Eric Spoelstra. You'll notice, you know, Mike Malone. You'll notice really, really good coaches and how they will adjust for a one-game situation. Today is a great opportunity for Mike Brown to show, hey, I'm a really good coach. Not only do you need to think about the players and their impact, but consider my impact as well. And I know a lot of Kings fans, some fall on one side of Mike Brown, some fall on the other. It's going to be a great opportunity for one of those sides to get some fuel, because it is going to be Mike Brown is going to have a say in this game as well.
Yeah, and it's a bad luck to lose to a team six times. It's also a bad look to miss out on the playoffs three different times.
Sure.
Three different times, and that will be a conversation for Willie Green if they're not able to get it done tonight. Let's hear from Willie Green and what he had to say. He was talking about Brandon Ingram and basically what we can expect from Brandon Ingram. So let's hear from Willie Green in just a second here. Let's get to Steven, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steven? What you got for us?
You're going to put me before Willie Green? Come on, man. Come on,
I'm
man.
I'm sorry.
You can't put me before Willie Green.
I'm sorry.
You're being nice.
There you go. There you
okay.
go.
That's okay. You're being nice. All right, real quick, man. Coach Stiles and Coach Watkins, mm-hmm. the team is in front of you. You're about ready to go in. You're about ready for tip-off. What are you guys telling the boys before they go out tonight? Before, when they're all suited up, you're ready. You know what I'm saying? You're like Kurt Russell in The Miracle. You know what I mean? Like, what are you guys saying to these boys? That's what I want to know.
There you go. There you go. Well, we will let you know what we'll say after we hear
from a great segment, Steve.
Willie Green.
We can't blow that. That's a great idea.
Well, we better come correct, yes. And we definitely will have something for you before the show ends. Let's hear from Willie Green and what he had to say on Brandon Ingram.
I'm not sure why we've been so successful against the Kings, but you know, right now we have to block that out. Yes, we'll watch some tape on them, and we have a recipe of what we believe allowed us to be successful, but this is going to be a different game, and we have to embrace that. And like I told our guys, I'm extremely excited about the opportunity that we've given ourselves. We got two cracks at it, and this is it. So
I told the guys we had three cracks at this, yep. And we haven't been able to get it done any of those times.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see just how they adjust. I mean, you know, they're going to have to try and bring it as well. Brandon Ingram, I know, is somebody who, you know, is a walking bucket. And so I'm sure him missing time isn't really going to affect him a ton. But at the same time, not allowing him to get into rhythm either is going to be huge. You can't let him step into a couple shots, start feeling himself. And once the juices get flowing, you know, once the adrenaline gets pumping, you're not going to feel any of your injury. So the Kings, again, physicality, and that's going to be the theme of my Steven speech, is going to be physicality. You have to make sure that these guys do not get open looks and at least have to work for their shots. I think that's the best thing that they did against Golden State, was make sure that these guys are working for every single opportunity they get, and nothing comes easy. That's going to have to be on the Kings. That is something that Mike Brown's been talking about a lot. What can you personally control? And that is your effort, your intensity. Every shots are going to go in, shots might not go in. The one thing that you can make sure you individually do is make sure you are not the one to blame. You are bringing the proper, whatever the coach needs or whatever the team needs to be done. You just got to make sure it's all hands on deck, as our friend TC would say.
And I know this probably isn't fair, but I mean, I'm looking down the list here, and it probably sounds hilarious saying this when, you know, we've joked about the Kings maybe not having, well, you have Malik Monk and he's not playing now, but all being a little bit low key, heavy, you know, just even keel. But I'm looking here at this Pelicans team, and I'm looking around, Chris, and I know CJ McCollum got into it with Clay, but who in that locker room is going to galvanize the troops? I mean, who, what player in there do you think is it going to be Alvarado? You know what I mean? Who's going to be like, hey, we ain't going out like that? I just have no clue who is the leader of that team. Zion ain't playing. I guess he can do it, but then he's going to sit down on the bench and ride pine. So I just, they can't even fill the arena. They have to give away fleece jackets.
Yeah. I hear it's very warm there, too.
You could not pick a better situation for the Kings, which is why it scares me so very much. When we return, breaking down the Western Conference playoffs. Also, Valanciunas has some comments to talk about as far as Domas is concerned. And we give our speeches at 1:30. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.